The unsurpassed, penetrating and perfect truth is seldom met with, even in 100,000 myriad kalpas. Now we can see and hear it, we can remember and accept it. I vow to make the Buddha's truth one with my soul. Homage to the Buddha, homage to the Dharma, homage to the Sangha. Somebody asked me to talk about taking responsibility for our training. I could just say, it's up to us, and go away, but I won't. Each of us is here today because we want to be here. We've chosen to be Buddhists. We've chosen to practice meditation and keep to the precepts, and as best we can. We're swimming upstream because we're kind of going against the current of the world, each of us in our own way, even those of you who are here who are not Buddhists, in a way, you're swimming upstream. Just by that we're all here, we're doing something a little different. Each in our own way is kind of swimming upstream. And this doesn't mean we're special or extra virtuous or better than other people or anything like that. It means we have to work, is what it comes down to. And when you're living in the world, it can be a lot, or seem a lot harder to keep swimming upstream, constantly feeling like you're swimming as hard as you can to stay where you are, never mind getting somewhere, you know. And people sometimes say, you know, when they're finishing a retreat, and they're going back out, back to their life, they say, well, it's so much easier here at the Abbey. It's so hard out. How do I do it out in the real world, you know? And in fact, this is actually part of the real world. It's not widely different. It's the same in the monastery as it is outside in many ways. We have pressures, we have stress, we get worried, we get stuck, we have our own stuff, we get crabby, we have to deal with other people and get along with them, we get overly busy and all that, just like anybody else. And those of us who are monks learn that it's up to us to actually make that great effort in our practice. The daily schedule doesn't do it for us. It can help. Being with other people who are training doesn't do it for us, but it helps. Having a teacher does not do it for us, though it helps. It's up to us to make the effort day by day, and moment by moment, breath by breath, it's up to us. Because nobody else can train for us. Nobody else can make that effort for us. No thing can do it for us. It's up to us. Each moment, we have this choice, you know. And of course, most of the time it goes by us because we're thinking about something else. But now and then we think, ah, mindfulness. Just come back. Let me do our best. Taking responsibility for our training. What does that mean exactly? It does not mean having some kind of agenda or a plan, of the five-year plan. There was a monk here many years ago who said, well, I expect to be enlightened in 5 years. And he wasn't enlightened in 5 years, so he left. You know, the Buddha had his time, he had 5 years of his life, and that was it. On to something else. Doesn't work. We have to give it our whole life, our whole effort, our whole heart, actually. It does not mean we have to do all our training in one day or worry about everything. Just be patient. Do it breath by breath. This moment, today, this choice I have right now, just to be here, to be still. It's slow. It's patient. It's often quiet. Doesn't mean we're quiet, but the progress is kind of quiet and unseen often. Taking responsibility doesn't mean we have to be in control of everything. Thinking everything has to be my way or on my terms. Our training is not on our terms. We do our best. We do our part, and there's something else That's the other half of it. We do our part. Something else helps us, comes to meet us. It's not just up to us. We're not actually that much in control as much as we'd like to be or may like to be. And it doesn't mean taking responsibility for everything that happens. Everything that happens is my fault or somehow I've caused it. We have our own mistakes, difficulties and so forth. We don't have to take on all the difficulties of the world. We just do our best. Taking responsibility, a large part of it is taking responsibility for our past mistakes and our past choices. To look at them, to see them, okay, I did that. Taking the consequences and accepting them. If you made a choice in the past that we now think, I shouldn't have done that, I should have done some other thing. Well, who knows where we'd have ended up? It might not have been so good, you know. It always seems like that would have been the perfect thing. My life would have had no suffering. But actually, as we know, no matter what we do, there is always unsatisfactoriness sometimes. Our past mistakes, not regretting over and over and over again the things we did in the past, but to say, okay, I did that. Now I have the consequence. And just bearing it without complaint, it actually helps immeasurably, when we just say, this is the consequence of something I did. Just bear it. It's okay. It'll run its course. You know. Not blaming ourselves. Not blaming other people. Not saying, you know, I'm the worst person. It's all my fault. Or it's all somebody else's fault. Or not blaming circumstances. Just accepting things, not making judgments about other people or about ourselves. I should be better. I should be nicer. I should be meditating. I should be more still. I should be something different. Because what we have is what we have, and we just do our best with that. To accept ourselves as we are. This is taking responsibility. Accepting what we have, the things that have happened to us, the things that people have done to us, or that we have done to other people, or that the choices we have made, accepting all of this and simply doing our best with it. Not wishing things were some other way. If only I had done such and such, if only something else hadn't happened. You know, as I said, we've no idea how that would have turned out. Everything that has brought us to this point, here, now, in this body, in this moment, in this very breath, it could be worse. We can now practice the Dharma. We can now do something about ourselves. This is a great blessing. And that is something to be really grateful for. To all the people in our lives, to all the things that have happened to us, to ourselves, for making choices that somehow helped us to stumble in the door. And here we are, sometimes not knowing which way is up, but eventually we figure it out. Maybe. Taking responsibility for our present choices, our present mistakes. We're still not perfect. We're still, you know, get confused, we're selfish, deluded, crazed, and make mistakes. To take the consequences. Okay, I'll learn something. How can I do better next time? You know, rather than just blaming something else or somebody else or blaming ourselves and not really looking. I was talking to someone the other day about eating. Being mindful of not, just not kind of grabbing everything and then feeling terrible. But think, well, be mindful, you know. And if you take too much and you feel terrible, well, rather than complain to oneself, oh, I'm so greedy, this is awful, you know, to say, well, look how I feel. And this is just a consequence. It's not a badness. It's just a consequence. I don't have to be guilty. I don't have to feel terrible about it. I just have to see. If I eat too much, I don't meditate very well. And I'd rather be able to sit still and feel more alert than be sort of lying there thinking, oh, why did I do that to myself? And it's not a badness, it's not a judgment, it's simply cause and effect in a very sort of obvious way. And there's all kinds of things like that, you know, that we do that create suffering for ourselves in both small and large ways, or just discomfort, unsatisfactoriness in some way. We can see where we've made a choice and now we have the consequence. And we can blame ourselves, or we can blame somebody else. Why do they make such nice food? It's not fair, you know. Or we can just take responsibility. Next time, I'll try to be more mindful. No blame, it's just consequence. We have choices. Living anywhere, we have busyness, endless busyness, endless opportunities for distraction, for pressure, for stress, for getting into difficulties, for being in one place and talking to somebody somewhere else. You know, it seems like everybody is connected to everybody else all the time, but missing the person they're with quite often. You don't have to be on top of everything, knowing everything, seeing everything, in touch with everything, aware of everything. You know, we don't have to do that. We can actually back off a little bit, quiet down a little bit, and turn down the volume a little bit, and to find ways to do that. Taking responsibility for our training to think, what is important to me? How important is my Buddhist practice? How much is it a big part of my life? And this isn't a rhetorical question, it's just something to look at. How much of my life do I want to give to it? Or how much do I want it to pervade my life? How much do I want to give to it? How much do I want to invest in it, actually? And what helps me to do that? If I want to invest more, if I want to give myself more to my practice and my training in meditation, what helps? What makes it difficult and what helps? And how can I foster the things that help? And each of us has to do that for ourselves, but just to look and see, what am I spending my time doing? Am I spending half my day cruising on the internet with actually not a lot of purpose? Am I getting way too busy with way too many commitments, having way too much to do? And would it be good to kind of relinquish some of those things? Will the world get along without me if I don't do absolutely everything I'm doing right now? You know? What am I doing and why am I doing it? To see some of these things. And not to feel like we're just being dragged along by the tide. But we're swimming upstream and we have to do it consciously. What am I doing? What am I giving my time to? What am I giving my life to? And to make choices, you know. Do I want to be doing this? Is it helpful? Is it good? Is it actually helping anybody? Or am I just thinking it might be nice? Or thinking I'm helping when in fact it might be better to back up a little bit. Looking at the conditions of our lives and looking at even at our difficulties, we can see them as obstacles to our training, or we can use them to help us. Sometimes we can reduce some of the impact of it all, as I just said, and sometimes we just have what we have, and so we can use it rather than see it as an obstacle. When this obstacle is out of the way, then I'll be able to train. If we have a difficult relationship with somebody, well, if only they'd go away, then I'd be able to meditate. You know? That's not really the best. You know. You can use a situation to practice patience and kindness, sympathy towards the person, to really work on our relationship, and it's surprising what can come out of that. sometimes someone we have a real difficulty with, we can have a little conversation with and just have a kind of a meeting and see, this person is fine. There's nothing wrong with them. It was just the way I saw them. Or just someone's misunderstanding. And actually, they're perfectly fine. I don't have to fix them. I don't have to get away from them. I can accept them and actually maybe make friends with them. To use the little situations, the little difficulties to the good, to help us, to help other beings. When we're all stressed and busy and worried, we can use that very situation to help rather than see it as an obstruction. Here I am. We all know what this is like. Way too busy, too much to do, too much stuff, too much of everything. If we're paying attention, we can stop right in the middle and say, what am I doing? Just stopping and seeing. To stop for a minute. Take a breath. What am I doing? Why am I all stressed out? Can I just relinquish the grip for a moment? Just back up a little. What's going on? And you might see that we have some kind of an agenda that isn't a good thing, or I really, really, really need to do such and such, or I'm really worried about some other thing happening. And maybe it's okay. Maybe we don't have to worry so much. Maybe we don't have to have it our way. Or maybe we can just stop and take a breath right in the middle and see, what am I doing? You know? We don't have to get all stressed about stress and all worried about being worried and all tense about being tense. We can just simply see, look what I'm doing. You know, just back up a bit. Taking each moment as it comes, not worrying too much about the next moment, not worrying about the whole of our life. Just this moment, right now. What am I doing? Just here. Our meditation practice is a wonderful thing. Wonderful. The Dharma gate to repose and joy. And we have to be able to bring it into our daily life. It's really nice to be able to sit still, here we are, you know, and to be able to take that into our daily life and incorporate it in those moments of stress. Wouldn't it be wonderful if right in the middle of a moment of stress we could just be completely still and not worry? And actually, I think all of us know, have done this. It's just remembering and being able and willing to trust enough to relinquish that grip. We don't have to fix it. We don't have to see it through. We don't have to do the thing. We can just relinquish for a moment. Take a breath. You know, that's sitting and still. Sitting still. Stopping and seeing. To step back for a moment. Not so caught up in the details of what we're doing that we can't see. But to just relinquish for a moment. We say this over and over and over and over again. And it's really hard to do. Easy to say, hard to do. But if we can remind ourselves and just try to remember, and right in the midst of busyness, stopping and seeing. One way of describing our meditation practice is, in fact, stopping and seeing. Samatha Vipassana, I'm not very good at this. Stopping, samadhi, stillness, and seeing, insight, the two aspects of our meditation, which we try to do together. In some traditions, they do the stopping, the samadhi, and then the insight comes later. But with us, it seems like we do it all together. And we try not to think about it too much because you can get really confused. Stopping and seeing is simple enough for me. Stopping, stillness, relinquishing the grasping at things, the grasping at the mind, the grasping at the situation, whatever it might be, just stopping and relinquishing the grip, stillness. Letting go of that grasping at something, grasping at our thoughts, or grasping whatever it might be, and getting all caught up in things, just relinquishing. seeing, insight, seeing what's going on. What am I doing? What's my mind doing? Where am I going? What am I up to here? Seeing how we're creating something, maybe unnecessarily. And of course, there are deeper meanings to the stopping and seeing. In meditation, as Dogen says, withdraw within and reflect upon yourself. Stopping, withdraw within. Seeing, reflect upon yourself. Turn the light inward, illumine what is within. The other day I was talking, doing a talk about meditation practice. And I was talking about sitting wholeheartedly in the body, putting one's energy to just sitting here in this body and not worrying too much about the mind. And when we do this, when you sit wholeheartedly in the body, our attention naturally comes to rest within. We're naturally reflecting within. It just naturally comes about. We're not looking outside, we're not staring at something, we're just turning within in a very natural way. Stopping and seeing. Relinquishing. Allowing ourselves just to see. We're not looking for something, we're not thinking about something in particular, we're just turning within. Reflecting the light within. And in the midst of daily life, we can do this. For many people, just becoming aware of the breath, both in meditation and in the midst of conditions, just coming back to the breath. Many, many people say this to me, oh yes, when I'm stressed or when I think about it, I just come back to the breath. Because the breath is always with us. And it's a way of turning within. Here it is, body's breathing, you know. And sometimes when we're all tense and worried, we're kind of, you know, not breathing very well. But if we can just pay attention to the breath, it stills down, deepens. That right there, that is helpful. We can always come back to just breathing. Because if we're not breathing, eventually we're going to have a problem. Either, you know, to do that, just to come back when we're all stressed and worried, or just when we remember. In those little moments, you know. We're not shutting everything off when we turn within. We're not cutting everybody off. We're just relinquishing our grip. Being still. Coming back to ourself. Some of us aren't particularly focused on the breath. I don't do that myself particularly. But there's the way of turning within, which is the same thing, just turning the focus inwards into stillness in a natural way. That is the stillness that is at the bottom of everything. Like the bottom of the sea, you know, we have the waves and thoughts on the top. This is often described that way. And at the bottom, there's the stillness of the ocean. And we are part of that. And as we relinquish, we come back to that stillness at the bottom of the ocean. Because we are part of that ocean. It's not separate from us. We just entrust ourselves to it and allow ourselves to become still in that way. There are little moments in our lives when we can do this, little moments between things. When you just finish something and you're about to do something else. Just come to, just take a breath. Just to come back to ourself. Wonderfully helpful. If there are little things that help us, maybe a Buddha image at our place of work or something that helps us. Somebody recently they're living in an Arab country now where they pray 5 times a day. And this person was saying, I could do this. Here are these people, the whole country is praying 5 times a day. And I can remind myself of my practice as I hear that call to prayer, it's a call to meditate. I can use that, using those little moments in the day to help us to remember, what am I doing? Where am I going? What's my life for? Is it slipping before, way before my eyes? Am I part of it? You know, stopping and seeing. Simple, hard to do. It's up to us. Taking responsibility for our training is up to us to find the things that help us, to find those little moments of stillness. No one's going to keep reminding us. We don't have somebody telling us five times a day, and it's nice too if you can do it. More than that, to just come back. What helps me to just come back and remember what I'm doing? Each of us needs to work on it for ourselves. What do I want from my life? And how do I do that? How do I use it? How do I use the difficulties? How do I use the little moments? How do I use the very stress and the real hard things to help me in my life? Many people who have had great hardship, great difficulty, look back and are grateful because it has really helped them with the important things. Not just sliding along on the surface, but something gets their attention. Maybe something really hard. And they say, ah, there's something more important that I need to be aware of, and that I need to live for. Not just for myself. To keep coming back to what's the important matter. What is the important thing? What is important to me in my life? What will help? Each moment, we have a choice. Most of our choices go by us because we're thinking about something else. We just do our best. We're not perfect. We're not likely to become perfect anytime soon. We just do our best moment by moment and trust that that is enough. Buddhism is for human beings, it's not for Buddhas. Buddhas don't need Buddhism, we do. It's for us imperfect, deluded, crazed and distracted beings to help us on our way. So we don't have to be perfect, we don't have to do it all perfectly, we just have to keep coming back, giving it our best, with faith and trust that we do our part, we do our best, and something else helps us with the rest of it. There is something to which we entrust ourselves, that deep ocean of the Buddha nature, of which we are part, that we float in, that we entrust ourselves to, that supports us. We don't have to judge ourselves by some perfect standard and fall horribly short as we're bound to. All we have to do our best. Stillness. Floating. If you're floating, you do a whole lot better if you're still than if you're thrashing around. If you're swimming purposefully, that's great. If you're thrashing around in a panic, it's not so good. And when you're floating still, the water supports you. Faith, the basis of everything. Faith that the ocean of Buddha nature will support us. We are part of it. We will not drown. And if we do, so what? We're still a part of the ocean of Buddha nature. Doing our best in faith that we are following the way. Asking for help. Entrusting ourselves to that great ocean. Asking, how do I train with this? Not, we would go away, or I can't do it, or even tell me what to do. But how do I train with this? How do I deal with it? How do I do my best with it? Sit still with it. Use it for the best. Keep to the precepts. Come back to stillness as best I can, as often as I can, as wholeheartedly as I'm able. Taking responsibility for our lives, for our choices, for what we do in this very moment, in this very breath. You don't have to worry about what we'll do tomorrow, too much. Actually, all we have is today, this moment. Not making our training a burden or a duty or something to fall short of. The Dharma is here to help us, as I said. It's for humans, it's for us. Our meditation is for us, it's to help us. It's not something to get right. However imperfectly we may feel, we meditate or sit still or train or keep to the precepts, every effort we make helps us. Our imperfect sitting helps us, despite our best efforts. Our aspiration helps us and other beings. It's not something to get worried about or make judgments about. It's all to help us. And we just have to trust it. We just have to entrust ourselves to it in faith. The Dharma gate of repose and joy. That's what we venerate, uphold, keep to as best we can. Imperfect beings as we are, not to worry, just to do our best. That's it.